Minister Jordan, it's I don't even know where to start. It's been a year. How's your year? How's your year been?
Oh, it's definitely been probably the most challenging year anyone could ever expect. And that's not just for me. I think that just goes for pretty much everyone right across the country and around the globe.
You've taken on this portfolio, and the challenges that have come across your desk are probably some of the most intense that the fisheries have probably seen in the better part of a decade. How does it feel to be at the pinnacle of that right now and being caught in the middle of it?
As I said, it's been a year that has seen a number of challenges within the fishery. We started out, actually, we were probably one of the first industries impacted by COVID, because before it became, what we knew it was going to become, we started to see export markets drying up in January, early February. And so we knew that there was going to be huge impacts for the industry. And we had to be very nimble very early on in the pandemic, to make sure that we had the supports out the door for fishers, for harvesters, for industry, even just things like season openings. It was so challenging to make sure that we got that right, to put the things in place that needed to be in place so that people were safe on board, safe on boats, safe in the plants, and still be able to open a season. So there, it started out really rough right from the beginning. I was appointed in November, and by January, I don't even think I even had all my staff in place, and we're dealing with a lot of these challenges. So it started out really, very much, right out the gate, a lot on the go, and it just kept going all year, it seems like.
For me, and maybe I've got this wrong, but the issue that seemed just to come out of nowhere really was the indigenous fisheries, the rights of the indigenous fisheries. And of course, governments have been working on this for, since the Marshall decision. Prior to this exploding on you, I don't really know how to describe it, but what was your knowledge of the situation before this all, rose to a head?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it came out of nowhere. This is something that we have seen over the last few years, escalating a bit every year. We saw the First Nations wanting to implement their right, making, movements in that way. And then this year it just really did come to a head, and it was absolutely the most challenging time for me that I've ever faced. There is no easy or quick solution to this. My biggest concern, of course, right from day one, was people's safety, making sure that, we were doing everything we possibly could to de-escalate the situation, to make sure people are safe, in the communities, on the wharves, on the boats. Those are all things that, make you lose sleep at night, is wondering if you're doing enough. And I think that was probably one of the biggest challenges for me, was, and then continuing to try and find the solution and the path forward, and keeping, the talks going and the negotiations, and making sure that you're doing everything you can to hear all sides and make sure that you're hearing from everyone about what, is important, and leaning in on the conservation aspect, because that's one of the things that we heard was the most important thing for everybody. So, it's an ongoing conversation that we're still having. There's still negotiations, working with the fishing clans from the communities, listening to the harvesters. But for me, the number one challenge for me was always just the safety of the people in the communities, the people on the wharves, the people on the boats. It was very rough.
How, as the fisheries minister, how involved are you in the negotiations?
I would say extremely, extremely involved. Of course, we do have negotiating teams on either side, but I would speak to, the chiefs on a regular basis. I spoke to industry representatives on a regular basis to make sure that we're hearing from all parties involved. Nobody is questioning the right of First Nations to, to make sure that we implement the Marshall decision, Supreme Court affirmed right. But also making sure that, we're addressing the concerns we hear around conservation, addressing the concerns we hear around effort. Those are all things that I think have to be part of the negotiations. And so, yes, I would say I was extremely involved since this very start.
Conservation is an issue. Perhaps you could expand on that a little bit. What are the concerns you're hearing?
Well, of course, there's always from the commercial harvester's perspective, with regards to the concerns around fishing outside of a season has been a concern. You know, I mean, of course, First Nations, have said time and time again that nobody wants to do anything that's going to disrupt the stocks, that's going to stop the long-term sustainability of an industry that we rely on. So it's finding that middle ground and working to negotiate what that looks like. And I think one of the big challenges for me as well is that so many people are so passionate about this issue, and there's so much to it that needs to be discussed, that needs to be brought to the forefront, that needs to be on the table, that it is absolutely very challenging to try and find that path forward.
What does a path forward look like now? My understanding, and maybe I've missed this, but my understanding is Sabagadakity Chief Mike Sack has stepped away from the table at this point. Is there any change in that situation? And, can that go on considering with some of the other chiefs? The negotiations could go off with the chiefs in his absence.
Well, I know that, I would say that that negotiations are ongoing. There are a number of bands in Nova Scotia and Atlantic Canada that are martial decision bans. We'll continue to have those. I still believe that the best way to, resolve this so that we don't have the same type of situation again is at the negotiating table. And, we're always willing to be there, and we're always willing to listen and talk and try and figure out how we make sure that we're doing this in the way that implements the right and addresses the concerns that we hear.
Nation to nation talks have been a priority for your government. What are the Liberals at this point, governing Liberals at this point, doing that's different over the past 20 years in relationships with our Indigenous people?
Well, I think the fact that we're even at the table is a step forward. We know that there's a lot of work to be done with regards to reconciliation, making sure that we listen, that we're implementing rights, we're working with them. And from my perspective as the fisheries minister, we have fish plans in place from the First Nations communities. We're going through them now with them. Those are all part of the negotiation process. And, it's for a long time, First Nations weren't at the table. They weren't part of the discussions. And that's one of the things I think that we have, definitely made progress on in terms of working in collaboration with First Nations to find, everybody has so much that we should be learning about First Nations and what has happened to them historically in Canada and how we best go forward on this path of reconciliation together. It shouldn't just be the government of Canada and the First Nations. It's all Canadians. And I think that, recognizing treaty rights, recognizing what they mean, recognizing why we have them and why those treaties were signed, I think is extremely important for all of us.
It's sometimes difficult to get people to understand that treaties just don't exist for the First Nations, that Canada as a nation is a treaty people as well.
That's right. We're all treaty people.